Take your Bibles now and go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll read verses 13 through 18 this evening responsively. I'll read verse 13 and you'll join me on verse 14 all the way through verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we get to be here at church. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for its influence in our lives. Lord, nothing is more important at this day and this hour, Lord, than the preaching of this, your Word. Lord, please, may we lift the Word of God up, Lord, as we both listen to it, Lord, as we think about it, Lord, as we apply it to our lives this evening. We ask that you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Allow his mind to be consumed with his truth, Lord, that you've given to him. Lord, we ask that he'd be yielded, Lord, as he preaches, but may we also yield to that same Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Please, speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Prayer was probably one of the hardest things for me in the Christian life. Many people don't pray much because they really don't know how to talk to God. That may sound funny, but how much do you really pray? Think about it. If you were to put a timeline on it and say, "Well, preacher, I pray for this amount of time," how much would it be? People don't understand all the fancy terms and feel inadequate. Can I tell you something? God's not interested in your fancy terms. God's not interested in your fancy petitions. Matter of fact, none of us have a right to go to him other than the grace of God. If it weren't for his grace, we wouldn't have the ability to go to him. So all of our fanciness and us trying to dress ourselves up to look more spiritual than we really are doesn't mean much to God. Many people shy away from prayer because how do they talk to somebody for a half hour or hour or maybe at times many hours? What do you say to somebody that doesn't necessarily talk back to you? Have you ever talked to somebody that didn't say anything back? Now, I've talked to people that didn't shut up. But talking to somebody that doesn't talk back to you is a little tougher. It's kind of like talking to a deaf person and you don't know sign language. I'll be honest, that's what I thought for a long time. I am not going to diminish the importance of prayer, trust me. But may I say this? God would rather you pray without ceasing than only to have an occasional season of prayer with him. Let me say that again. God would rather you pray without ceasing than to only pray in what I call an occasional season of prayer. According to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Guess what? God created us for his pleasure. God made us to be pleasurable to him. And if we don't spend time with him, we are stealing God's pleasure. God made us to spend time with us. As a matter of fact, when we sinned, he loved us and wanted to spend time with us so much that he gave us the gospel and a way for us to be saved so we could spend time with him. He loved us so much in that while we were yet sinners, He made a way available for us to be able to communicate back and forth with him. God made us to be his children, and what parent does not want their children to spend time with them? How many of you ladies either got a call or a visit from your kids today? Raise your hand. My wife had all six of her kids contact her today. You say, wait a minute, you only had three. Yeah, but there was Josh and Ruth Ann, Michael and Mindy, Jeff called, and Beatrice. All right, so we got all six of them in there. And they all called. And by the way, everyone that she talked to, she lit up on. Can I tell you why? Those are her kids. She enjoys hearing from them. How much more does God enjoy hearing from us? Is it just once a year? Is it just when you need something? How do you feel as a parent when the only time your children talk to you is when they want something from you? Saying, boy, this is getting old real fast. How do you think God feels? Everybody doing okay? God wanted humans to spend time with him so much that when we disobeyed, he made it to where fellowship could be restored by salvation. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that may surprise you. God does not tell us that we have to spend big blocks of time, hours and hours and hours in prayer every day. You don't have to have an altar at your house. You don't have to get on your knees and fold your hand and close your eyes and kneel down and say, oh God of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the other Boam fellas and the God of the Canaanites, the mosquito bites and the Hittites and the, you know, all the other bites and start using all these fancy words. That does not impress God. Matter of fact, God tells us simply that he wants us to pray without ceasing. Give you a memory verse that you can memorize before you leave today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's only three words, you can remember it. Pray without ceasing. Does this mean I'm to spend every waking moment in prayer? No, but yes. Let me show you what I mean. There's no such thing as an attitude of prayer in the Bible. You'll hear these whole fat holy reverends say, well, that just means you need to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Pray tell me, what's an attitude of prayer? Show me that in the Bible. Well, that means you need to be ever mindful of prayer. Really? God says pray without ceasing. I know this. Many of the most powerful prayers in the Bible were short. You can go to Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. God tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That term, men ought always to pray, is the same term as pray without ceasing. Does that mean we should do nothing but for 24 hours a day pray? No, but yes. I've prayed on the platform several times tonight without verbalizing it out loud to you. I don't know how many times I've said today, oh God, please give me your power. Oh God, please help me. Help me to help your people. Oh God, help me to meet their needs. God, would you love through me today? I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens and dozens of times I have said that today. Did I sit down and do it all at one time for 3 hours? No, but I've done it over and over and over and over and over and over today. You see, you may say, how do I get anything done in life is all I do is pray. Let me show you what I mean. My wife is a very good cook. Gloria a Dios. When she puts a big meal together, she doesn't do just one thing at a time. Many of you ladies know where I'm headed with this. She works on many components at the same time And she has them timed out. This one takes the longest here. This one's going to need this. This one's going to come off next. And she's working on 4, 5, 6 different things all at the same time. Now, watch this. She may have two or three things on the stove as she cuts and chops other things. Then she's got other stuff ready to throw in the oven, and it's baking while other things are on the stove while she's cutting this up and mixing that. And then she's got to work on dessert. That's the most important part. And then she's checking on things all the while these things are going on. She may even need to, she may even be talking on the telephone while doing all this, or talking to me, telling me to get out of the kitchen and quit tasting. She's cooking without ceasing. Is she just cooking one thing at a time? No. Sometimes she's doing laundry, she's putting dishes away, she's washing dishes while she's cooking. She's doing all those things, but the cooking's still going on. When you wash clothes, you don't put the laundry in, sit down in a chair beside the washing machine, and wait for it to quit before you put it into the dryer. You say, well, I do. God bless you. You got time that I don't have. But you can still be washing clothes while you're doing other things. The clothes are still going, and you're listening for the spin cycle and the rinse cycle, and you're waiting for the little at the end or whatever. You say, why is that? Well, you're washing clothes, but you're doing other things, but those clothes are washing without ceasing. You're cooking, but you're talking and doing this and cleaning and washing clothes and cooking and doing this and cooking and doing this and cooking. And you're cooking without ceasing, but you're doing other things than just cooking. That is exactly what God says here. We ought to pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing, or always praying, is the same way. It's going about daily life and talking to God along the way. Prayer without ceasing means as you're doing the things in life that you do, you talk to God along the way as you need to. Oh, there are times where you have serious issues to where you need to talk just to God, and you got to stop a few other things, and it's just you and God. But let me remind you, most of the prayers in the scriptures are very short. There's not a lot of long prayers recorded in scripture. But most of the time, God just wants to be a part of your everyday life. God's interested in the cooking and the cleaning. He's interested in the cleaning of the clothes and the phone calls and this person's need and that person's need and the trip to the store and while you're shopping and, as my wife would do, praying for a close spot to the door. Her princess parking or whatever she calls that. You say, why? Because God's interested in that. Let me give you some thoughts here. Number one, some of the greatest people in the Bible talk to God face to face as a man talks to each other. James chapter 2 verse 23 says that Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, and God talked to him as a man talketh to a man. Turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse number 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to thy seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Wow. Second Chronicles 20, verse number 7, calls Abraham God's friend. Did you know you can't be a friend to somebody without talking to them occasionally? It doesn't mean that that's the only person in the world that you talk to. But friends talk with each other. Husbands and wives are supposed to be friends. That means they're supposed to talk to one another. I know that's foreign language to some of you, but It's true. And as Abraham went through, God came to Abraham one day and said, Abraham, I want you to leave the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, which is Iran and Iraq area, and I want you to go to a land that you know not. I'll stop you when you're there. This is going to be the promised land. You're going to be the father of a great nation, nation of Israel. That's why they're the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I want you to leave there, go straight there. I'll tell you when to stop, and then I'll give you that land. Say, what was he doing? He was, in his everyday life, talking to God. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Moses. Boy, you talk about somebody that walked with God and talked with God. Moses did it. You don't find a lot of long prayers in the book of Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy by Moses. But look at Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse number 11. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, that thou may not let me know whom thou wilt send me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But I want you to notice something. Moses and God are conversing here. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Moses as a face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Let me ask you a question. When you greet your friend, Brother Josh, stand for a moment. Do you walk up and say, O thou most holy friend, how art thou? Now, it's not always wise to walk up to God and say, sup! No, I'm not talking about that. But God talked to Moses as a man talketh to his friend. And God says that's how you pray. You talk to him as you talk to somebody else. Thank you. In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, we won't take time to turn there, but Adam and God talked in the Garden of Eden every day. And one day, man sinned, God came, and man didn't show up, and he said, hey, Adam, where art thou? He said, we're hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, because we're naked. He said, who told you? Now, you got to realize there's only two people on the face of the earth. Who told you that you were naked? Now, that only leaves one other person that was on earth other than God and Adam and Eve. To me, that's a funny statement. Who told you that? In every one of these cases, these men talked with God as we do any other man. Did you know you're supposed to talk to God the same way? You don't spend every moment with just one friend. But you talk to your friends on a regular basis. That's why they're your friends. Now look at me for a moment. Maybe, one of the most influential people in my life about prayer is a very unusual source. There's a man that worked at the college where I went. His name was Phil Sally. Phil Sally was one of the most unusual characters you have ever met. By the way, just in the last 6 months or so, Brother Sally went to heaven. Phil Sally, nobody knew this, but Phil Sally was a wealthy man. He made millions of dollars selling chewing tobacco. And I mean, made lots of money. He went to college and went to Bible college, got saved, went to Bible college, ended up working in the grade school. He was my wife's grade school teacher in math. Phil Sally was as rough as a dried out corn cob. I'm not kidding. He was rough. I watched him cuss out college boys before. And we worked at a Bible college. I went down there just for the entertainment factor to watch these guys come out of his office, you know. He said he shouldn't use words like that. They knew what he was talking about. But Phil Sally, when he would get up every once in a while and pray in chapel, the whole place came unscrewed. He's just an old country boy from Alabama or Georgia. Phil Sally would get up and he had a real deep voice. And he'd say, "Dear Jesus, we got folks here that have burdens. Now, Lord, if that was my baby, I'd want somebody to pray for me. So, Lord, I'm going to pray for that baby like it was mine." Phil Sally was so mean, he named his daughter Sally Sally. No lie. Am I kidding? He named his daughter Sally Sally. You talk about a mean, cruel man. That girl couldn't wait to get married just to get rid of her last name, amen? But Brother Sally was just as rugged, just as rough. But when he prayed, he just talked to God. I've heard him get up and say, "Now, Lord, we got some fellas that need to get some gumption, and they're a bunch of knotheads, and if they don't get off their backsides and work, they're going to get out of college. Help them get some good care." I mean, he's praying in front of 2,000 people this way. I mean, just he's letting it fly. I learned from Phil Sally, you can just talk to God. You can just talk to God like you're talking to somebody else. He wasn't disrespectful, but he didn't care who was around. He was going to talk to God like he was talking to anybody else. I've been with Phil Sally. Phil Sally loved me. He and I were friends. I've been to his office. He'd say, "Brother Bush, let's pray." Big old tears running down his face. And he just talked to God. Man, I used to love to hear that man pray. I learned that you didn't need big fancy words. You could just talk to God. If I hear somebody pray and they say, "Dear Jesus," I'm sorry. I just start going, because I can hear Phil Sally in the back of my head. So some of the greatest people in the Bible talk to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. Can I tell you something? When you pray, do you picture God? Do you talk to him as though you see him? Do you talk to him as though he's your friend? Secondly, this may surprise you, some of the most powerful prayers in Scripture were very short. Some of the most powerful prayers in Scripture were very short. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. You know the story. Elijah is on Mount Carmel and he's facing the 850 false prophets, 450 false prophets of Baal and 400 other false prophets. In 1 Kings chapter 18, he's wasted all day on these false prophets, calling on false gods, cutting themselves. They've been to this challenge. Look, whatever God consumes the sacrifice by fire, their God will win. Remember that? Well, all of a sudden, Elijah says, "Okay, you guys have, you know," he's mocking their gods. "Maybe he's asleep. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation and he's just not listening to you." He's having a good time watching these idiots. Finally, he says, "Okay, let's fix the altar." And he fixes the altar and he kills the bullock and put it on. And he puts stones and digs a trench around. He said, "Find me 12 barrels of water." And they doused the sacrifice, the wood, and everything with 12 barrels of water. Now think through that for a second. That's 500 plus gallons of water. Put 500 gallons of water on wood and then light a match. Say, that's not going to happen. And we find here in 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse number 36. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet of God, came near. and said, now this is where his prayer starts. You ready? Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me now, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That's the end of his prayer. 63 words. Takes approximately 20 to 21 seconds. What happens? Look at verse number 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. It not only burnt the sacrifice, it burnt the wood, it burnt the stones, and every bit of water dried up. You talk about a pretty quick hot fire. That was it, man. White phosphorus has got nothing on God. Amen. 63 words, about 20 seconds of prayer, and he whipped 850 false prophets of Baal that had been crying and beating themselves and cutting themselves and doing all kinds of stupid stuff all day long. And in 63 words, the fire fell from heaven. It didn't take Elijah hours. It didn't take weeks. It didn't take, please don't take this the wrong way, it didn't take weeks and months of fasting. I'm not against those things. But Elijah simply prayed 63 words, and the fire fell from heaven and consumed it all. How about Samson before destroying the Philistines towards the end of his life in Judges chapter 16? In Judges chapter 16, verse 28 and 29, you find 33 words that Samson prays. Takes all of 10 or 11 seconds. In 10 or 11 seconds of prayer, Samson gets enough strength, and more Philistines died that day than in his entire life past. In just 10 or 11 seconds of prayer. We're not talking 10 hours. We're not talking 10 weeks. We're talking 10 seconds. So maybe it's not the amount of prayer that is the issue. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. This is one of my favorites. Matthew chapter 14. Remember the story of Peter walking on the water? Now watch this. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. It beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what? Lord, save me. That takes less than a second. What happened? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So in less than a second, in three words, Peter prayed. He said, Lord, oh Lord, help. Save me. Lord, save me. I'm about to die. And in three words, Jesus immediately reached out and picked him up. In less than 1 second, the only guy that's ever walked on the water other than Jesus is sinking, and he prays three words, Lord, save me, and it's done. He didn't have hours to pray. He didn't have minutes to pray. Say why? He was about ready to go blub, blub, blub in the deep blue sea. 3 words. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Jesus is teaching us a little parable here. And look at verse number 9. He spake this parable unto a certain which trusted themselves that were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men that are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Huh. Seven words. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In a parable, Jesus said, this Pharisee goes up and says, he's more righteous than everybody, and God, because I'm so good, you should listen to me. The Bible says that the other was a sinner, a publican, and not a Republican, but a publican. And he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the Bible says that the one who had the most power was the one who said the least amount of words. Sometimes it's not how many words you say. I've heard people say this. You ought to tell God, you ought to prove God. You ought to tell him everything that you've done. Can I tell you something? We haven't done anything. How about we tell him all he's done with us? Give him the credit for it instead of us taking credit for it.
Yes, sir.
And in 2 seconds, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven words. One went to heaven, the other died and went to hell. Scripturally speaking. How about the thief on the cross? Luke chapter 23, verse 42. The Bible says he prayed 9 words. Took him about 2.5 or 3 seconds. Lord, remember me when thou enterest into paradise. Lord, would you just remember me? Takes about 2 or 3 seconds. Can I tell you something? That man went to heaven. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Acts chapter 9. There's a man in the Bible named Saul. Saul had been known for killing Christians. Matter of fact, he was going to churches, getting their church records. By that I mean finding out where the people who went to that church lived, and was going house to house persecuting and killing people who were going to the church. That's not a good fella. You know, he made the IRS look good. You heard about that Canadian pastor who kicked the police out a couple times because of COVID and stuff? They hauled him to jail today. I like the guy. I'll find out how much his bail was. I think I'll help pay it. But here we have the Apostle Paul before he's saved. Look at Acts chapter 9. Look at verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, here's his prayer, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. 11 words. 11 words took all of about 3 seconds. And this murderer was saved and willing to do whatever God said. And it only took 11 words. Turn to John chapter 17. I think I'm correct in this. You may challenge it and find I'm a couple words off, maybe. But from all of my study, John chapter 17 is a prayer of Jesus to God. This is the Savior himself. The entire chapter is God and Jesus talking, and it's Jesus praying to God the Father. So there are 26 verses, and from what I can find, it is the longest prayer in Scripture. I read this out loud in my office this week with a stopwatch 3 times, and I was within a second each and every time, and it took 3 minutes and 15 seconds to read the entire chapter out loud. 3 minutes and 15 seconds of prayer. John chapter 17, the longest prayer recorded in Scripture. If you go home, you read it, it'll take you about 3 and a half minutes to read it, depending on how fast you read. But an average reader, I was not trying to speed read. I read it as though we would be reading in church here. I can personally read it without saying the words out loud a whole lot faster. But I read it verbally in my office with a stopwatch 3 times. Averaged out to 3 minutes and 15 seconds. There were times Jesus would have seasons of prayer, but even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he only prayed for an hour at a time and then went back and checked with the disciples. And he said, could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? Now, I know everybody in here has talked to somebody for over an hour. Some of you women are just getting warmed up by an hour. Travis, you didn't need to say it's Mother's Day. Wait a minute. It wasn't until Gethsemane that you find him praying those kinds of times. Sometimes he would pray all night. It's not much recorded about it. But most of his prayer was short. Many of the people in the Bible talk to God face to face. Most of the prayers recorded in Scripture are very short. Lastly, prayer is just talking to God. To pray without ceasing, you just need to talk to God. You don't need fancy words. Now, I know the term prayer, it gets personal. We're trying some new things in Sunday school, and one of the things that some of the Sunday school teachers are finding out, students don't want to pray in front of anybody. Shoot, it's hard finding men to want to pray in front of church. Say, why? Oh, I'm not comfortable doing that. What's so uncomfortable about talking to God? I'm not criticizing anybody. Well, I don't want to do it in front of anybody. I get that. I don't like doing it either. Sometimes you got to do it. And when you got the term preacher ahead of your name, you get asked to pray in places nobody wants to pray. Trust me. This does not mean that we bring God down to man's sinful level, but he did create us to spend time with him. I'm not for this treat Jesus like some ghetto bum. But I can promise you one thing, the ghetto bum, God understands. God doesn't expect all these fancy, froofy words. He just wants us to talk and treat him with respect and dignity and talk to him as a friend. He wants to be a part of our everyday life, moment by moment in life. People will come by and they'll say, preacher, would you pray for it? Yes, let me pray right now. Sometimes somebody will call and say, preacher, would you pray for it? Yes, I'll pray for you. He came in tonight and said, pray for Miss Patty. She's having a tough time with her health. As I walked away and walked back here, I was praying for her. That's not the only time I'll pray for her, but I stopped and prayed for her as I was walking. Say, why? I understand what it's like to have somebody that you love that's hurting and down. I do. Read the messages on my texts. All the folks that need somebody to pray for them. And I'll pray for them. I pray for hundreds of people every day of my life. Now, that doesn't mean I spend an hour in prayer for each person. There are some people that need an hour of prayer. Last Tuesday evening, Brother Chris Drelyard's dad was facing open heart surgery on Wednesday morning. And I know Brother Bruce and his dear wife, and they're sweet and precious people to my wife and I. I called up to Maine, and the family was all together, and Brother Chris had asked if, and I had said, look, if I'd love to pray with him, I wish I could be there. I said, what, are you all going to be together before? He said, yeah. He said, matter of fact, the night before, we're all having dinner. I said, could I just call and pray with him? He said, oh, that'd be great. We'll all be there. He said, I'll just put you on speakerphone. Well, that was not what I was intending to happen, but that's what happened. And as though it was one of our church members, I prayed on the phone with him. And I've inquired about him. I've prayed for him throughout the day on Wednesday. By the way, he's doing fine. He was up sitting up the next day, got out of ICU the next morning. He's doing well. And Brother Harry, I had the same talk with him I had with you. About 6 weeks into this thing, you're going to hit a wall. I explained it to him. Tough old Korean War veteran. He said, boy, am I glad you told me that, because I'd get a little worried. And I know it's coming. Huh. You know, God just wants to take it moment by moment. So many times we think that we need to stop the world and say, oh, dear God, help the, you know, I'm not talking about this old Ernest Angley kind of stuff. You know, be healed in the name of Jesus. By the way, he just died. 99 years old. Guess his faith healing didn't last forever, huh? Can I tell you something? God wants us to talk to him like we talk to people. We just ought to pray for one another. And as we go through the day, talk to one another. Brother Hiles did not know Billy Sunday. But Billy Sunday had died before Brother Hiles had come on the scene. But Billy's wife, Ma Sunday, was still alive. Lived in Texas. Not far from where Brother Hiles pastored. Brother Hiles would spend time with Ma Sunday, and he would ask her questions, and she'd say, sometimes I didn't know if Billy was talking to me or God. She said, he'd talk to me a while, talk to God a while, talk to me a while, talk to God a while. She'd say, sometimes I'd say, Billy, you talking to me? No, I'm talking to God. Shut up, woman. And she said, I just didn't know. She said, he talked to God so casually and so frequently, I didn't know if he was talking to God or me. What a testimony. What a testimony. So, you don't have to be in a formal setting, on your knees, certain posture. Just talk to God throughout the day as life goes on. Involve him in your life. Ladies, you're facing an insurmountable pile of laundry. Lord help me. What do I do next? You're facing the grocery store. Lord, help me not to kill somebody with that shopping cart. You know, or whatever. You know, help me not to spend more than I should. Help me to find all the things I need to find. I can't tell you how many times my wife come back and tell me God answered one of her prayers at the grocery store. You say, why? Because she was praying while she was shopping. I wonder, do we involve God in every aspect of our life? That's what prayer without ceasing is. To pray always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Sometimes we think prayers come to the church kneeling at the altar, and I think we ought to be willing to do that. I think the more time we do that, the more time we're going to give it when we're not at the altar. So prayer without ceasing is not necessarily long seasons of prayer. It's just talking to God as you go about your daily life. It's asking God to help you as you travel. It's Thursday night, driving back from Ohio. And we're on 68, east of Hancock. And I look up and I said, honey, look at that deer in the middle of the median. And I got an 18-wheeler on this side. She's just moseying along. Well, she kept moseying. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And I'm starting to tap the brake a little bit. And she gets down. She comes up, and both feet, front feet, are on the road. And I'm going, and the old truck next to me is going, and it's getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And my wife's going, And all of a sudden, and I mean, that deer's, if I go past her, she's going to rip my mirror off or hit the side of my car. And at the very last second, that deer goes like this. And we go, phew. It was not a matter of if I hit her, it was how fast I was going to hit her. I could have picked her nose hairs. I mean, if I had my window down, I could have reached out and touched her. She was that close. Got past her and went, thank you, Lord. You say, what were you saying? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This is my new car. Don't do this, Lord. I've got a good record. Not now. Sure enough, on we went. My wife's first words were, I think God turned that deer's head on us. I think so too. I think she was the one asking for it because I was trying to break, figure out where to go and what to hit and what not to hit. Can I tell you something? God wants to be involved in that too. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. You don't need big fancy words. Oh, I think there's times when we ought to spend a good amount of time in prayer. A season of prayer. But do you know, for the most part, we ought to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. How's your prayer life? How is it? Do you pray without ceasing? Are you willing to try?